Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Kate.
And this is a super fun episode with Chloe from Parker Pastures. Chloe is dedicated to spreading knowledge about the benefits of raising healthy beef. From the time a calf is born to the time they feed a family, they should be only consuming grass, nothing else. We'll hear all about the benefits of this natural way of raising cows and the benefits of just slowing down and connecting with the way nature intended life to be. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button. Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's. Okay, hi everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
We have Chloe today. We obviously heard on the intro, but Chloe, if you want to go ahead and just tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you all for having me on. And yeah, my name's Chloe. I currently operate Parker Pastures, which we provide people with high quality, nutrient dense meat and ship it across the nation. And the other thing is I just wrote a book called Connected Cowgirl, because having grown up on a ranch where it's like everything is just very interconnected. Like you can't separate a cow from the grasslands. You can't separate birds from insects. It's like, but we live in this very siloed world and agriculture system. And I've just seen that disconnect and how it's harmed agriculture, but more so like all of us, of just like 1% of the population grows our food. And so it's just really, I think a lot of us are just feeling that severed connection. And I know that was something that I experienced and kind of led me on this journey of being like, I grew up all around this and I loved it. And then, yeah, just like kind of got separated from it. And then it was like, never felt healthy, low energy, all the different health issues, anxiety, depression, just like all of the things. I was like, what is wrong? Like, I don't want to feel this way. And I know there are so many other people around me who feel that way. I'm like, what is happening? And so it really just led me on a journey of just like reconnecting back to what's real. Because I think, yeah, we can have all the different health things or all the different things, but sometimes it's like what getting back to just things that are real. Like, I believe in grass-fed, grass-finished beef, because that's the way it was intended to be raised. Nice. Or just like putting a phone down and being in the moment instead of just like recording everything and just sort of that sort of thing. And so that was like a journey that I went through. And then I just saw that I wasn't the only one struggling with that. And so now I'm just super passionate about just sharing, how do we reconnect back? How do we return back to what is real?
Wait, that's super cool. Yeah, that's a really cool story. And I feel like most people don't even know the cows eat grass type of thing. I actually had someone comment on one of my reels the other day that if a farmer says they're grass-fed and grass-finished, they're lying. Like, that's not possible. And I mean, that's obviously not true, right? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So the label grass-fed, there's no regulations around it. So it literally could mean the cow ate grass one day in its life or half of its life or all of its life. Most of the time, it usually means they ate grass at some point of their life, because most cattle do eat grass at the beginning of their life. And then grass finished usually means like the end of their life was they were spent on pasture. But then again, there's also no regulations with that term either. So honestly, it's like there's so much just label BS. And so, I mean, usually if it says grass fed and grass finished, that's kind of assume that that animal spends its entire life eating grass. But there's so many like loopholes. It's like our cattle, it's like, okay, yes, they're grass fed, they're grass finished. I say those labels because that's what most people are familiar with. But most importantly, they literally spend their entire lives on pasture. They're not fed corn. And then they're grazing just a wide variety of different grasses, which is, I think, is super, super important, because you could just put a cow on a pasture and she could just eat that grass. But it's kind of like if we were to eat the same thing day in and day out, like there, unless it is beef or something super nutrient dense, usually there's not a ton of nutrients and it can, and maybe the soil's depleted or whatever. And so there, the more biodiversity there is of the plants, the more healthy the soil is. Then when that cow ingests that grass, she's going to convert that into beef. And so if that's nutrient dense plants that are grown on healthy soil, then that means her meat is going to be nutrient dense and full of flavor. One thing that I always like look for and taste for is nutrients and flavor are directly tied together. So like if you get like my classic example is like if you get a tomato from the store versus like growing your own or a farmer's market, usually there's a vast flavor difference. And that's because there's a vast nutrient difference. And so like our beef, people say like, this is the best beef I've ever had. And it's so super full of flavor because of just the nutrients in it. And that's like, I want beef to actually taste like beef, not just like a bland something that you have to season a ton. So anyways, to answer your question, like usually that means that is true and the cow spent its entire life on pasture. But also there's so many, like, I've just seen so many people get away with so many loopholes. And so it's like taste test is one of the best ways to like know and just like trusting who you're getting it from too.
Yeah, that's a great point on the flavor, because if you buy the supermarket beef, which I was doing for like a very long time, and then my husband now is just like very strict on what meat we're allowed to buy. And it's actually crazy to see the difference in quality of taste of like when you're getting it from a legitimate farm compared to what I was buying at the store. And I thought I was buying like a pretty decent, like I would buy like organic grass fed. It would never say grass finished. So I couldn't find that in store. And now like when we buy from farms, it's crazy to tell, like you said about the seasonings, you don't need a lot of seasonings for it because it's so flavorful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like people are always, they're like, ew, you only put salt on your beef. I'm like, that's literally all you need because it's so good. Like the fats just give it flavor. Like everything is just, I mean, it's just naturally delicious. And they think I'm boring, but I'm like, no, it's so good. Just try it.
Totally. I agree.
So when a label says like grass-fed, grain-finished, or a farmer tells someone like, yeah, it's grass-fed, grain-finished, how do people know or do they not know if like those grains are sprayed with, you know, pesticides or if there's GMO? Like, how do people know or they just don't?
I mean, the chances that it's not sprayed with some form of chemical and a not GMO is literally probably a tiny, tiny percentage because like most corn grown in America is GMO and sprayed with some form of, name one of the millions of different, I mean, not millions, but tons of different chemicals. And so, and it also like cattle are naturally designed to eat grass. And so as soon as they eat grain, which they're not designed to eat, it completely screws up that omega-6, omega-3 ratio. Like usually it should be around that like 1:1 or yeah, somewhere in there. But then when it's like grain finished, it can be like as different as like 20:1 or 50:1. So insane different. And that's like an animal eating grain for like 180 days or like very short period of time, but it completely screws up that ratio, which just increases inflammation and all of the things. So it's like, I honestly would stay away from industrial beef because it like, it doesn't have the health benefits we need.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But that is crazy. But like if someone can't afford to go to a farmer, what is the best like in-store label to look for, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, if you can find grass-fed and grass-finished, that's tricky to find, but like that is going to be your safest thing. And the other thing is like, as far as like food to eat, beef over processed food is always going to be better, even though like no matter how the beef's raised, like there's been different studies done, like that is still better for you. And also like there's ways to eat meat, I guess, on a more of a budget of like you can get those lower end cuts of like ground beef or short ribs or bones and make bone broth. Or like sometime, like if you can find a local farmer around you, like, yeah, do you have like meat with bad packaging? Or like if the financial part is like really a trick, there's like ways to work around that. And also I would challenge people like, how valuable is your health? Because we live in a world that is always going to treat the symptoms and not ever get to the root cause because that doesn't make the most money. And so it's like your health is such an important investment. And like, yeah, high quality meat is going to cost more. And we live in America where everything is cheap and we try to produce things as cheap as we possibly can. So like most of us are programmed that food should be cheap. Food should not be cheap. Food should be nutritious. And to grow nutritious food, there is a cost to that. But instead of like this being like, oh, I have to spend money at the store and it's going to cost how much? Like What if it's more of a, I'm investing in my health, I'm investing in my kids' health, I'm investing in my family's health, so that 10 years down the line, 50 years down the line, we don't have all these insane medical bills because 90% of diseases are related to what we eat. So like that investment makes so much sense to invest in high quality food, because there's always going to be a benefit to that.
Totally agree. We talk about that all the time. Like, spend money now on your health so you don't have to spend money on hospital bills later.
Yeah, for sure. And also, nothing is, like, when you're in that place where you're sick, nothing is more important than your health. And it's never important to people until they realize, like, oh my gosh, I can't do everyday activities because I didn't care about my, or, you know, not that you didn't care, but maybe you weren't aware of your health until it was kind of too late.
Totally.
Can you explain what regenerative farming is? I don't think anybody really knows what that means.
Yeah, it's a good question, because there's so many different definitions and it kind of depends on who you ask. But for me, I believe that we as humans are to be good stewards of the land and to take care of it well and not to extract from it. And so the idea of regenerative agriculture kind of came about because we were like extracting, poisoning, just stripping the land of nutrients. And so it's like, okay, how do we improve this? How do we like steward it well? How do we get it back to the way it's supposed to be? And there's a lot of different ways like that can work, or how you can do that. But something I just like came to realize of, like, how was it originally created? And it's like cattle were eating grass, and then their poop and their pee was providing nutrients to the soil. And then those animals were moving about. Like if you think of wolves and bison, like the wolves were keeping the bison on the move, and they were going to fresh grass. And then that other grass they grazed was able to regrow, recover, pumps carbon back into the ground and provide nutrients to the soil microbes. And so like for me, regenerative is like, how are we stewarding this well? How are we just getting back to that original design and doing it the way God created it to be, in the way that nature functions? Yeah. So like, for example, for us, it's like, okay, we're going to move these cattle using electric fence. Like we're kind of like the wolves, and we're going to move them across the landscape, allowing the grass to regrow, recover, because grass is designed to be grazed, but not overgrazed.
So let's say someone has the means, financial means, to buy the best of the best beef. What are they looking for on their label when they are shopping online or shopping in the store? What do they need to be looking for?
I have a very different opinion on this than most people. And I don't think you should be looking at labels. I think you should be looking at nutrients. And most, like a lot of beef, you don't have like hard data on nutrients. And so a label can say anything, and there's a million ways to get around it. And so it's like, what does that beef taste like? Has there been nutrient testing done on that beef? Like, what is the omega-3, omega-6 ratio? And just like, how was that animal raised? So I would take more of the approach of like asking questions, and like, this is an investment to your health and to your family's health. And so it's like, what is the best of the best? And the best of the best is going to be raised in the way cattle were designed, which is cattle on grass. They're going to be eating a wide diversity of grasses, which is going to increase the nutrient profile of beef, because one cool thing about beef is we can absorb up to 90% of the nutrients in beef. So like most vitamins and stuff, it's like 10 to 20% versus beef, your body can actually convert up to 90% of all the nutrients in it, your body can actually use. And so like, if that's the case, then we want the most nutrient dense product. And so like, we've started doing some nutrient testing on our beef to just be like, what is it like? Like, is it actually good? And like our omega-3, omega-6 ratio is right where it's supposed to be, like close to like right around that 1-to-1. And then it's like, there is actually vitamins and minerals showing up on the nutrient profile testing. Unlike a lot of beef, it doesn't even show up, because it just like the cattle just don't have that in their diet. So yeah, I would focus on like nutrients. A good way to tell that is like, just taste the beef. Like, what's the flavor? And don't be afraid to like ask questions of like, how is this beef raised? What do you do? Because it's super important to know those sort of things.
I love going on websites of like family owned farms and just like reading like their story, how they got into it, how they like exactly what you're saying, how they treat their cattle, like how they do their regenerative farming, just and then like how they treat the animals, what they're doing with them. If it is it grass fed, grass finished, all the things, like you can learn so much about a farm and their integrity just by like reading about them.
Totally. I agree. Yep. Absolutely.
I love their like your family, like I'm like 20th generation farmers. I love it. Okay, but what if I'm going to a farmer and I'm asking them all these questions. What about vaccines? Would they be vaccinating their cows, or and if they should, like which one should they be doing, or are we not doing any? Like what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So there's currently no mRNA vaccines in the beef industry. It is in pork, and they're trying to sort of push it for beef. Cattle do like 98% of cattle do get vaccines. And there's usually like the classic handful, which honestly, I cannot remember all their scientific names off of hand. And that is mostly because of the system we're in, which is like a calf is born on a ranch. They'll get vaccines usually when they brand the animal, which is like kind of when they just identify it as theirs, essentially. And then it'll spend its entire, like that first six months or so with its mom on pasture. And then the rancher will either keep that animal or it will go to somebody else. And then sometimes it'll end up being fed grain or being on pasture. It kind of just depends. And so now we're in that next summer, and that animal's now about a year old. Usually they'll spend the summer eating grass, and then they'll go into a feedlot for the last part of their life. And because they're going into a feedlot, but an unnatural diet and with a ton of other animals from all these other sources, they'll either get like vaccines before that or when they get there, or they'll be put on antibiotic feed just to like prevent disease. And so that's like, if you're taking the average beef in America in the store, unless it's imported from another country, which a lot of beef is. So yeah, most cattle do get vaccines. And
do yours?
Yes. But it's usually at that beginning of their life. And these are vaccines that like I'm not a vaccine person at all. But I think a lot of people need to know that to find non-vaccinated beef. Like we do have some non-vax beef because I understand not wanting anything in your beef. And that's something I'm continuing to work on. But also it's like, because of the system, ranchers make their living from these animals. And like that risk of like, what if something happened? And there's some very deadly diseases and things that can go through cattle that could just, it could ruin thousands of herds of cattle. Like that is a risk, but like anything, it's like, is the risk worth the reward and all the things? But that's just the system we're in. And so everyone's kind of just programmed to give your cows a shot. And like, I'm not for that. I'm like, okay, what ones are like, I mean, I don't remember the last time I actually gave a vaccine. And so I'm like minimal. But I think it's one of those things that like no one's really talking about. And then it's kind of just swept under the rug. And so like full transparency, that's what happens. Yes, everyone, you can take it to the extreme and the cattle could be given all the different vaccines. But most ranchers I know work very in alignment with nature and they're not trying to put a bunch of inputs into their cattle. But we have a system that is very broken and toxic, and you have to either participate in the system and hopefully make money, or you have to do completely outside of the system, and there's a risk to that.
Yeah.
So anyways, to answer your question, yes, I would. If it's super important to you to have non-vaccinated beef, there is a very, very select few places that do it. I think asking what kind of vaccines and if it's like a long list or they can't tell you, those are good. Like if someone won't tell you that, answer that question, then that would be major red flags. And then also like, I mean, this is something I'm like been continuously looking into because it's like whatever side you're on, like vaccines is a big thing right now. And I'm of the belief of not a ton or even not necessary, but it's like, okay, does that transfer to the beef? Does that transfer to what we eat? And I've definitely looked at different studies and just like evaluated that. And from everything that I've seen, it doesn't. And then most cattle, like for us, the cattle that we're harvesting, they're not getting a vaccine right before they're getting harvested. Like, I'm not allowing that to happen. It's usually right when they're little babies. So that's a couple years, even more years before they're like
they're being processed.
And then there's so many other things that are in meat that I feel like are much bigger issues than that, of like, they put stuff in ground beef, and most beef is packaged with MAP packaging, which is modified atmospheric packaging, which is carbon monoxide along with a few other gases. Packaged, and that's why most meat in the store looks really red, because it makes it look super red. Or most cattle are given antibiotics because they're fed grain. And so as far as like things to ask and be aware of, vaccines is, yes, totally important and valid, but I don't think it needs to be up here. I think there's so many other things that people don't realize is in meat, because it's like, oh, it's just meat, it's healthy. No, it's actually, most of it can be not good.
Yeah. I think it's also kind of like the whole raw milk thing. Like, I think a lot of more people would sell raw milk, but like, they just had to protect their farm and protect like their company. It's like, you know, all raw milk I buy, at least, or like I found a farm that sells it, but they have to all put like, for pet consumption only, do not, you know, like they just have to go through so many loops just to be able to get this to people. So I totally get your stance of like, you know, we have to do it for the safety of like our farm and our animals and whatnot.
Yeah. The lady we get milk from too. I know I'm in Oklahoma. I don't know where you are, Chloe, but there's like specific, you know, laws per state. And especially when it comes to vaccines and stuff of the cattle, and Oklahoma's a big cattle state, lots of cattle here. And the lady we get our milk from, she said they get, you know, just one when they're babies. And then she's like, and then they're not milking for years. So she's like, I don't even like worry about it being in the milk anymore. So I just like, that's just a good conversation to have with your farmers. Cause like you said, if they're not saying anything, that's a red flag. But most of them are very open and transparent. And like you said, like they don't really want to necessarily be doing these things. They just kind of have to not get shut down, I guess. Their livelihood. So
totally, especially like when we're talking like, yeah, raw milk, that sort of thing, or like switching from conventional farming to regenerative farming. Like, I think I always try to be like, it's not the farmer rancher's problem, it's the system problem, because that's where we have massive problems, and hopefully that's going to start to shift. But that's just, we're just in a very broken food system.
Yeah. And health system. Yeah. It's like the same thing with people's kids. They feel the pressure to vaccinate their kids, because then they're like, oh, my kids can't be in the wild after if I don't do this, you know? So yeah, it's like a really, really, we're under a lot of control. We have the illusion of freedom, but you know, we're not necessarily free.
Yep. Unfortunately.
So are you like a first generation farmer? Is this like been passed down by generation, or like what is your family farm dynamic?
My parents started Parker Pastures when I was like 5, so super little. Wow. So I've kind of just grown up, yeah, just around cattle, right away. We just started providing families with meat, because my mom especially just wanted to provide, I have two younger brothers, just like us, with high quality meat that she could feel good about feeding us, and that was also raised in a way that was healthy to the land. And then, yeah, I've always wanted to be in agriculture and ranching. So after graduating high school, I went and worked on a few different ranches, just kind of gain experience. And then my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And so I came back and I was like 18, 19, and kind of just did everything I could to just help my family. And then just realized that after just seeing her so sick, and like growing up in a pretty healthy household, but then just having more connections being made and seeing how broken our food system is and how it actually is hard to find high quality food, and how I love agriculture, I was like, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And so right before turning 20, I took over Parker Pastures, and now I get the honor of continuing on my mom's legacy and then just providing people with incredible meat. And I work with a few awesome, incredible, very vetted other farms and ranches, and we have chicken and beef and pork and lamb and bison, because I know how overwhelming it is to find like high quality meat. And so it's like, I'm a source that people can trust and come to and get whatever they need, because I know how hard it is to find like good clean food, and a lot of us don't have the time to go to farm and do all of the research. So yeah, that's what Parker Pastures does now. And kind of like I said in the beginning, I'm super passionate of just like returning back to what's real. And that's like family dinners and beef from a cow that ate grass and just like getting back to the things that humans were designed to, like having conversations. And for me, I've just noticed how like beef is such a centerpiece of meals. Mm-hmm. So it can just be that centerpiece of coming back to what's real.
It's yeah, beautiful. That's amazing. Yeah, yeah, I love it. So we're talking about grass-fed, grass-finished, grain-finished, all the things. And I don't want to scare people about conventional beef because truly, if that's all you can afford, like I ate conventional beef up until like a couple years ago. Like that was all I could manage. But would you say most cows then, like the conventional beef, like we're just going to Walmart and just grabbing a pack of ground beef that says like 85-15, we have no other context to anything. Are those cows mostly grain-fed?
Yeah, about 95% of the beef in America is grain fed.
Ah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
And is it just like fatten them up so there's more meat to make more of whatever the ground beef, the steaks, whatever is like, is that the intention? Because isn't just grass like free? Like they just put them on the pasture or like, you know, what's their reasoning behind why they just give these cows grains?
Yeah. So it started, I think it was like after World War II. Where we like started using war chemicals on the land and we were producing a ton of food. And then I was like, okay, what do we do with all this grain? And then they started feeding grain to cattle. And then I was like, oh, we can grow cattle faster and bigger and like more efficiently. And so that cycle has just kind of continued on since then. Like, for example, usually if an animal is fed grain, it can be harvested at like 18 to 20 months. If it's on grass, you're looking at more like 24 plus months, or even like closer to 30 months. So that's wow. A big like jump. Mm-hmm. And as far as like cost and all of the things, like, okay, maybe like it's a cheaper option. So part of it is just like, that's just kind of the system that exists. And when 95% of cattle are in that system, it's kind of hard to just pivot that system. And then also it is cheaper to grow them on grain and it is faster and you do usually get more meat per cow.
And I don't want to sound like a vegan here, but it is like a quality of life issue too for these animals. It's like not just fattening them up. It's like the equivalent of us eating, you know, ultra processed junk food. Like they're sick. They don't feel good.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. Yeah. Like, and then we're going to eat an unhealthy animal. So yeah, I mean, chicken is an actual, it's like probably the worst example of this, of like most chicken are like raised in 6 weeks. And like, if they're not harvested right when they're at like that peak, like weight, and when they're finished, they will literally die from obesity because they're just eating so much and they're like been bred to grow.
They just
so
explode.
Don't laugh about the chickens dying from obesity. You're a monster.
I'm just picturing them like exploding. Like they're just
PETA's
like,
shut
they're
us
getting
down.
So big that they just like explode.
Yeah, that's really sad. I mean, it's horrible. It's actually horrible.
It is. It's terrible.
Definitely money. Well, that's why, I mean, chicken, like good chicken is super expensive. Mm-hmm. And that's why, because they take longer to raise and they have more space. They're happier. And truly, like, cows and chickens alike that are being fed these horrible diets and, you know, maybe don't have space to move around, like they're higher cortisol. That's going to correlate in the meat too. And we're eating that stressed out meat. That's an unhealthy meat. And it's just, people don't think about it. Like everything is connected.
Yeah, honestly, I used to be able to just like buy the conventional chicken, but especially the chicken now, I can't even dream of just like even like the bleach wash and like thinking of them, like what they're fed and how they probably don't see the sunlight. Like it's just so yucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do taste the difference. A happy animal is tasty.
Yeah.
I feel bad saying that, but it's true.
No, it's very true.
Also, like, if you ever notice, like, when you go to Walmart or something, I keep using Walmart as an example, but whatever, Target, and, like, you get, like, the big pack of chicken breasts, and they're just, like, insanely large, and you just know those things are, like, pumped full of stuff just to make them massive, so there's more, and, oh, yuck, yeah, I can't do it anymore.
Nope, it's very gross.
Yeah, that's sad. I got a text today from my farmer that our cat, we get a cow every year, a whole cow. And I got a text that Freckles is his name. I always ask for like a picture and the name so I can send a thank you to the cow we're receiving. But Freckles is ready to be picked up today. But a perk of, you know, getting your own cow from a local farmer is not only are these farmers just so grateful, it's like just so beautiful to talk to them. And they're like, this is my livelihood. Thank you. Like, also, they're always, you're like the youngest farmer I've ever met, but like, they're usually old and like, they're like, this is a dying thing and thank you so much. But you get to pick all the cuts you want, like how you want everything. And I'm literally getting nose to tail. I'm not wasting anything. And that, I think that's also really a beautiful part of it. But additionally,
Tito would be happy.
Yeah, I am happy. But additionally, you buy in bulk and it's actually a lot cheaper. Like I'm getting ribeye steaks for $8 a pound rather than the, you know, 22 in a store. So it's definitely cheaper to know your farmers.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Joey and I bought from a farm and holy crap, it was so expensive. It was like $22 like for, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
What are your prices? Because like I don't mind spending a ton on meat now, but like do you sell like half cows, full cows? Like what is your...
Yeah, we do. We have like individual cuts and then subscription boxes and then like half, whole, quarter cows. And like I think it definitely depends on the region. Like Oklahoma, I worked there for a while and it's like, it's a big cow state and there's just a ton of grass everywhere. And so like, it's going to be a little cheaper to raise a cow than other places. And then also just how the animal is raised. So there's like a ton of variance. And also like most farmers don't know how to charge enough to actually have a living, which is really sad because it's like we want to provide people with good food and like that is our livelihood and that is a passion, but it's also like for some reason it's like farming and ranching falls in a different category than business. And like I've experienced this my entire life, and like one of the sayings is like if you want to make $1 million ranching, start with two. And there's just like this all this negative connotation of like ranching doesn't make money, you can't, like don't let your kids be ranchers. And I think that narrative is starting to change a little bit, but that's like, I grew up in a household where my parents' entire income came from ranching. And that is like a small percentage of ranchers in America. Most of them, usually like the wife will work in town because the ranch or the farm doesn't make enough money to support a family. And I think a lot of that comes from this belief of like, all food should be cheap when that's not actually true, because cheap food, if you grow corn and you can grow it super cheap, but it's not healthy for anyone, like that should not be our definition of what food costs. And so like pricing, it does vary like state to state. It varies from who you're getting it to from. We're gonna be closer to like, I don't know, like $12 to $14 a pound.
That's not bad.
Just depending on like what it is.
That's really reasonable.
Yeah. And that's more of like kind of buying in bulk is going to be the better. But it's also like you're getting all the cuts for one, that same price. And you do know that it's actually good for you. And then it's also like, I don't know what it is, but this thing is like 70% or somewhere in there of like farmers are over 60 years old. And so like we're literally a generation away from losing almost everyone who grows our food.
Crazy.
And so it's like, it's an investment in your health, but it's also an investment in the future for other generations to grow and raise food. Because if we don't have food, then we're kind of screwed, or we're in toxic stuff.
Kind of, yeah. Wait, so what would be some advice if like someone wants to get into this and they're like, oh, like these children are aspiring to be ranchers. What advice would you have for them?
It's a great question. I guess, I mean, get around animals or like growing your own vegetables, or like just start somewhere, like getting backyard chickens or growing vegetables or going to a farm.
You're halfway there.
I'm halfway there with my chickens.
That's awesome. Like, just like starting there. And then, I mean, most like farms and ranches you can go visit or like find something nearby. I think the start is just like exposure to it and like just learning more about it. And then it's like once you're like, okay, this is something I want to do, like there's internships, or there's, I mean, you can always like just get a cow on a couple acres of land. And so I think it's just like anything, just like starting, and then other doors will be opened And like most, like literally all the people that I know in agriculture, I could call somebody today and be like, I need help with this, or I have a question. Like, they're just kind-hearted, amazing people, and they want to see more people in this industry succeed.
Yeah. They always say starting's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. Also, back to like when we were talking about meat and prices and like, it's an investment in your health. We just have to, as a society, get away from thinking that everything needs to be dirt cheap and like that spending money on food is a waste. We have just been brainwashed to think like investing in our health is such a waste of money, but like getting our nails done, getting our hair done, buying the...
We're going out to eat a restaurant.
Yes. Yeah, you'll go to a restaurant and spend $200 on a family of six, but like buying $200 worth of quality meat is just like... insane. Like, we have just gotten so far away as a society of reality. And like, yeah, women will go out and buy, and don't get me wrong, because like I do enjoy buying nice things now, but like women will go out and buy like a new Louis Vuitton bag, the newest Prada bag, like drop $5,000 on a bag, but dropping, you know, $2,000 on a full cow is just like, they cannot wrap their head around it. And it's just so crazy because we have been brainwashed to think that like our needs go, you know, our necessities are like the flashy things. And then what we buy as food is like bottom of the barrel. Let's just get the cheapest. And it's just like, we got to get away from that mindset.
Yeah, no, I 1,000% agree. And then, yeah, you just look at the health across the nation and most of it's tied to the food we eat. It's like,
Yeah, for sure.
Standard American diet. Where are you geographically?
In like central Colorado in the mountains.
Oh, cool, yeah. cool. I love Colorado.
Yeah, it's beautiful, especially this time of year.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so tell everybody a little bit about your book.
Yeah, so this, I mean, was really written just like an invitation to bring people back to like where their food's coming from, to like slowing down, to watching the sunset, and to just like being connected. Because I think like we have our phones and everyone's like, oh, we're like connected on our phones, but we're like the loneliest, sickest generation, or just like time in history. And so I think a lot of times it's just like, okay, how do we get back to things that are actually meaningful? And I've just learned that that's like having like a great conversation, or a great home cooked meal, or watching a calf frolic through the fields, or the birds fly overhead. And so, yeah, weave throughout this entire book is just this idea of connection, kind of built around ranching, because that's what I know. And there's also like, I talk about the different things that they put in meat and like kind of exposing the dirty secrets and why soil health is super important. And so there's also like educational things as well. There's parts of my life, there's different like ranch stories. And just like my like hope with this is just like an invitation to anyone who reads this of like getting back to a connected life fueled by nutrient dense foods.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's really cool. You've written a book. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll definitely be reading that. Is it on Kindle?
It's not, but I will send you both a copy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yay. I'm a big reader. I don't know if Kate can read, but I can read.
I do love reading. I actually prefer to read real books, though, opposed to Kindle.
I do, too, but with breastfeeding, it's impossible. Like,
you're squirting milk and all over
it. And co-sleeping, like, well, and she's always just grabbing the books and ripping them. And I'm just like, and now I can read, like, you know, if I'm up in the middle of the night, I can read without turning on a light, which is nice.
But yeah, so smart.
This is, maybe Kindle can sponsor this podcast.
I need to work on that.
Where can people find you on the internet? Like, where can they connect with you?
Yeah, parkerpastures.com. And then also parkerpastures grassfed on Instagram. And like, yeah, if anyone has any questions about like, how do you buy a whole cow, or what comes in a whole cow, or what's best for me, or just like any, or I want to get into ranching or whatever, just shoot me a message there, because I also love talking about all of these things.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And this was a great conversation.
Yeah, for sure. See you guys next time.
Bye. That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered.